This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today on CityCast Chicago, could consolidation help the CTA? Does your grocery store choice say something about you? And would you try birria deep dish? Producer Michelle Navarro is here with me to answer these questions and more. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Simone Alisea, in for Jacoby Cochran, and this is what Chicago's talking about. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Last week, we talked on the show about the pressure facing CTA president Dorval Carter as complaints about wait times as well as rider-operator safety continue to rise. Even Governor J.B. Pritzker got in on it, suggesting there needed to be an evolution of leadership, quote unquote. And something I thought was interesting, in the background of all of this, state lawmakers are considering a proposal set to be introduced this week that would merge the CTA with other regional transit agencies.
So the proposal would look at combining the CTA, PACE, and METRA. This sounds really interesting. Simone, how do you think this would actually work?
I think at first blush, the question is like, why would merging these agencies have any effect on the issues that Chicagoans have been complaining about the past couple years when it comes to the CTA? And I think we first have to kind of look at how things are set up right now. So right now, CTA, PACE, and METRA operate more or less independently. They have different boards that dictate the way they operate, that dictate fares, right? How much it costs to ride each one. And then overlooking that, there is something called the Regional Transit Authority, who has a separate, its own board. Its job is to figure out financing for these three different agencies, funneling money in from the state, from the feds, et cetera, into these different transit agencies. And there has been some research into this that suggests that if these agencies were to be combined both in financing and in operations, they could all save a lot of money and just in terms of efficiency. And so there is some legislation being proposed right now to do just that. You know, right now, all three agencies are facing a combined $730 million budget hole once COVID relief money runs out, which is expected to happen next year. And so the hope is that if we could begin the process of combining these agencies, maybe we could combat that fiscal cliff.
Yeah. And I mean, if that hole isn't filled, then, you know, it's said that it could lead to more service cuts, which we already know.
Yeah.
We've talked about it plenty on the show. The issue with the service with CTA, unreliable times, ghost buses and trains. And so it can be concerning to see even more service cuts and, of course, fare increases, which I am sure no one in Chicago, people who use the CTA often or not, would not like to see that be raised. I mean, if just the idea of it even going higher up can be a serious concern for a lot of people and their families who, you know, CTA is their main means for transportation.
Yeah, and proponents of this proposal say that by combining the different agencies, it basically puts the rider, the consumer, first, right? Theoretically, if all your agencies are combined, you can have a unified fare structure, right? You don't have to pay extra if you're going from a CTA train to a PACE bus to a METRA train, right? You know, you think about times and coordination times between the agencies,
right?
And right, like, could that be improved if everything is under one roof? Interestingly, a big opponent, someone who does not want this to happen, is aforementioned CTA president Dorval Carter. He says that basically operational changes at this scale should not come before more funding, essentially. He argues that the big issue here is that the CTA needs more money to be able to do the things that that he has promised that the agency will do. And he argues that that there's a lack of fairness in the way the state funds transit, that the CTA is getting not as much money as it should get, given that it accounts for the most public transit trips in the region, in the Chicagoland region. There is a call to put more dollars into transit through this new merged agency, but it's still not clear where that money would come from. And it sounds like, too, that, you know, that provision is very, very much, you know, it's all up for debate, but that provision in particular is very much up for debate. So it's not clear that, you know, that extra funding would come immediately, even if this does pass. The other thing I just want to talk about was like the board and how they would be appointed, like who, because that's what this does. It changes who controls the transit agencies, right? Right now, they, like I said, they have separate operating boards who are appointed by a smattering of folks, right? Obviously, members of the CTA board, you know, the Chicago's mayor has a say in that. But as far as the other agencies go, altogether, it's 47 board members appointed by 21 different elected officials. Under this new structure, you would have one board, the state gets a certain number of appointees, the city of Chicago gets a certain number of appointees, and the rest are split across the other collar county executives that are served by these different agencies. And so when we have these conversations about like what is wrong at the CTA and why can't we do X, Y, or Z, there's always this like, well, who does the buck stop with and who is doing oversight of this agency? And you know, we talked up last week about appointments made to the CTA board. But then when you're talking about money, you have to talk about this regional transit authority and who's being appointed there and who has control over who's being appointed there. This, again, would kind of simplify that. And so theoretically, the public has a place to say like, oh, OK, here's who appointed this person who voted this way on this thing. And you would hope that that would lead to more accountability. Again, does that actually work? Will that actually make sense? Is it going to cost too much to stand this whole thing up? Because it's a lot of, you know, you're talking about merging pensions and like, it's a lot of work to merge three completely different transit agencies in one of the largest metro areas in the country.
Of course.
But maybe it would help.
As a writer and like hearing about this, it also doesn't make sense for them to be separate. Like there's a lot of overlap in terms of transportation itself where people are using two or all three of these at a time. And so it will be interesting to see if this happens. I mean, again, if it means that there's going to be less ghost buses and trains, if it means that fare can stay relatively the same, then I think, you know, people who rely on these transportation services wouldn't really argue.
So another story that got a lot of ink last week was the closure of Foxtrot and Dom's Kitchen and Market. Very abrupt, just all of a sudden, you know, they had a meeting in the morning and then stores were closed and people couldn't get in and buy stuff. And the parent company, Outfox, is now facing a lawsuit from former employees. Really quick, Michelle, can you catch us up on what's happening there?
Yeah, so former Foxtrot employees were protesting Friday morning outside of the company's food commissary in Pilsen, demanding 60 days of back pay after last week's sudden close of, like you mentioned, all 35 Foxtrot and Dom stores.
And that 35, that's across a few different cities, not just in Chicago.
And, the reason why they're demanding these 60 days of back pay is because, you know, according to the WARN Act, this requires businesses of a certain size to give notice to employees who will be laid off at least 60 days prior. And because the employees are alleging that the parent company, Outfox, failed to, you know, tell their employees, this is why kind of these employees have organized, because like you had mentioned, these are workers that came into work like a regular day expecting to do their work and hopefully get paid for it. And so the Illinois Department of Labor launched an investigation due to these possible violations.
Right. The Department of Labor is investigating. You have this lawsuit that's coming out separately so far. Company officials not commenting on any pending litigation. So that's kind of what's happening on the employee side, though. I got to say, Michelle, when this news broke, I was a little surprised at how much of an outpour there was from Foxtrot shoppers, people who were really, really into the brand, really into what they had to offer. It prompted us to ask Hey Chicago readers in our daily newsletter about their favorite and least favorite grocery stores. So we offered a poll with like a bunch of different options, obviously the big ones, Mariano's, Aldi, Jewel, but also, you know, Tony's, Fresh Market, and Pete's, and a bunch of other ones. We had Foxtrot and Dom's on there just to see if we had any stands in our audience. And frankly, overall, there was really no majority of that people liked the most. The biggest sort of plurality was people who liked Mariano's at 22%, but there was pretty much at almost a vote, I think, for every single option that we included, plus several people wrote in their own options. Just some local picks that I kind of wanted to shout out: West Loop Market, Fresh Marketplace, Harvest Time Foods in Ravenswood, Jongbu in Avondale. And I will say the big chains, Jewel, Mariano's, Aldi, had a lot of haters, especially Jewel. People said, you know, whichever one was near them, it was dirty, or they were out of produce, it was tough to find sales, just had a bad selection. Strong opinions on both sides. Michelle, it's interesting. I feel like when the Foxtrot Dom's news came down, we were starting to realize that like people have like real like grocery store allegiances. Like they really go hard for whichever one they like.
I mean, if we think about it too, like it's a place where you are forced to spend a lot of time in. It makes sense. Like if you're going to spend time there after a long day after work because you have nothing in your fridge, or if it's just like the weekend and it's one of your errands you run, I think it totally depends on the kind of vibe you're going for in terms of like the things you want and the selection you want. I understand why Mariano's is a more popular one, just because it's like the selection is, it seems like it's much larger, and it seems like I rarely see things out of stock in a Mariano's compared to a Jewel. But I will say I am really big on Team Aldi.
Oh, really?
I go to different places for different things. So my like allegiance is spread out. Like I have a Cermak that's like I could walk to, and I love the produce and the meat deli selection at Cermak. But when it comes to more like pantry stuff, like just things in the middle aisles, I do go to Mariano's in Bridgeport. Like I'll make that trip. And they have, I mean, all grocery stores have the apps where you can kind of like get your coupons in. I'm a big fan of the Mariano's app. Like I'll have my little, you know, I'll check out the weekly savings kind of thing to see what I can get. So I guess, yeah. Do you have a grocery store that is like, that's your team?
So I'll be honest, I think a lot of this is people are choosing grocery stores that they like that are near them, and then sort of staking a claim and making that a part of some broader discourse or debate. So for example, I live less than a block away from a Mariano's, so I'm there a lot because it's easy to get to. I don't think it's particularly good. Like I am often routinely disappointed with the produce selection, and stuff is quite expensive, but I don't think there's that much of a difference between the Mariano's that's close to me and the Jewel that's maybe half a mile away. You know, they're both owned by these really, really big grocery yep. conglomerates that are now trying to merge, right? Albertsons and Kroger. So, you know, there's not such a huge difference in terms of the big chains. I guess Aldi is, you know, obviously has like sort of the discounts and stuff. I think the thing that is like kind of shocking to me is when I see like TikTok and Instagram accounts that are like fully dedicated to particular grocery store brands. I see them for Costco a lot with like whole accounts just dedicated to like finding deals at Costco and like what's on sale. And like, there's all this like Costco merch. Yeah. I have a Costco puzzle. I can't talk. I have a jigsaw puzzle. That's a Costco jigsaw puzzle. And I love it. It's very good. Or like Trader Joe's is another one where it's like, here's all the stuff you can make with like the pre-prepared frozen right. foods at Trader Joe's. And here's how you can like zhuzh it up to make it to make it something else. And Aldi, I think, is another one of those where you get, you see people online like really
they do,
dedicated.
Like, their hauls.
Yes.
They show you what they get with all the money. And I love watching those now. And I realize that it's a mix of like, I'm an adult now, so I care about these things, but also things are just so expensive that you are kind of craving like, what's worth my money? And if someone's telling you, hey, go here for this and go there for that, it just makes it so much simpler. It's just part of the culture now of just like, we have accepted that groceries are really expensive and there's nothing we can do about it. And so we just got to tune in for the deals and try to save.
Like I said, we ran that poll in our daily Hey Chicago newsletter. Make sure you're subscribed at chicago.citycast.fm. So Chicago restaurants are always pulling out these interesting combinations. This time, it's Chicago's Pizza and Tacotlan teaming up to create birria deep dish for Cinco de Mayo. They're going to have it at different Chicago's Pizza locations from May 2nd to May 5th. Michelle, would you try this?
I was thinking about this, and I think yes, I would, because the ingredients which already exist in a deep dish pizza aren't very far removed from the ingredients you would use in birria. The quesabirria, which is a quesadilla, and the birria, which is a traditional Mexican dish which involves marinating either beef or goat, stewed for a very long time. It would be kind of like a quesabirria, and instead of maíz, which we would use in a tortilla, it would just be just like switching that out for pizza crust, which again isn't that far removed. And so I would try it. Probably like one slice would be enough for me. Maybe not, like, you know what I mean? Because it's so, even just deep dish itself, like, you can kind of go to town like you would on a tavern style. And so I would definitely try it because I'm curious, and especially because it comes with the consomme, which is like the flavorful broth. And so I totally understand the need to dip the slice in the consomme, which I think is cool. And I really like the combination. I think it's fitting. Would you try it?
So when I first saw just the combination, birria deep dish, I was like, oh my God, what a gimmick. And I am naturally disinclined to gimmicks as a rule. But then I read the article and I didn't realize that the founder of Chicago's Pizza is from Jalisco, Mexico. His family is from the area where birria is most commonly is made. And so I thought that was really interesting. And then I thought more and more just about like what the dish would be like. And I think... I think it could really slap, actually. I think if you're someone who already likes quesabirria, right, like with the cheese already, then like this is just more so. It's a more is more approach to a Chicago food combination. So I don't even know if I could get through a whole slice, to be honest. I think it'd be very rich. I can barely get through a whole slice of deep dish anyway.
On its own.
I am totally down to try. The other thing this made me think of was last summer we ran a list of interesting Chicago food combinations. Unfortunately, I don't think any of these are still available. But for example, that was when Wrigley Field had beer-flavored pizza, which just exactly what it sounds like. It had non-alcoholic sausage and a wheat ale flavor as part of the pizza.
Like, I would have skipped that.
I don't know why those two things need to be in one dish. Like, you eat your pizza and you drink a beer. It's an experience that didn't need to be changed.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with having a food and a bev? Like, the whole mix of
also,
that.
What do you drink with that pizza? What is the beverage accompaniment to a beer-flavored pizza?
Probably another beer if you're at Wrigley.
That's so much beer in one.
That's not if you're at Wrigley, like, that's probably not the least of your worries, having another beer. The next one, caramel popcorn beer.
Yeah, so Revolution Brewing did a collaboration with Garrett Popcorn where they sold an ale that was made with the the Garrett's caramel popcorn, I probably would have drank this, actually. I probably would have gone very hardcore for something like this. I do like beer, and I like caramel popcorn. I like it when my beer is a little sweet. I'd be into it.
I would try the next one on the list, which was Giardiniera and Italian beef pizza. I would definitely try this. Because it's like, we already have sausage on pizza, if you like that. And so the Italian beef doesn't feel like it's that crazy. And I already put Giardiniera on almost everything. So this would be an easy go-to for me.
This is one that several different spots have tried in different capacities. So it made some news because Portillo's and Lou Malnati's did a collab a couple years in a row. But also spots like Manny's Deli, Pleasant House Pub, Pompeii have also done something similar. Michelle, are there any Chicago foods that you would combine?
I should look this up if this exists. I feel like it has to. An Italian beef pizza puff.
I would be shocked if that doesn't exist.
An Italian beef jibarito.
Ooh, that could slap, actually. That could be really good.
Right.
Just an Italian beef, but on plantains. I think you could put anything on plantains and it would be better, to be honest.
I agree.
I think a great combination would be the Palmer House brownie and a pizza puff.
I was thinking about that.
A sweet
I
version. Was thinking about that. Yeah. I think straight up, I think you could just put the brownie inside the pizza puff, top with like inside the little tortilla that they fry, and then top it with whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be great.
Ice cream. Oh, that would actually go really hard. Similarly to the Italian beef, the sweet steak. From Home of the Hoagie. I would have that anyway, too. Like, I'll have that in a pizza puff. I'll have that on plantain.
That would be good in a pizza puff. Oh, with that sauce. Oh, that'd be so good. See, that's the thing. I think they should just make pizza puffs of everything.
And I think they should put, like you mentioned, just any sandwich we have, just, like, put it in between plantains.
Yeah.
Plantain and pizza puff.
Yeah. I think we're onto something, Michelle. I think this is our new restaurant concept, is pizza puffs and plantains. Plantain puff, we'll call it.
Yeah, actually, maybe we should cut this out and start our own venture in case the podcast doesn't work out eventually.
We'll get into the restaurant. All right, Michelle, well, thanks so much for being on the mic with me today.
Thank you.
Some good news to get you through. Tomorrow night is free for Illinois residents at the Adler Planetarium between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. So it's always free on Wednesday nights, but it's good news for me because this is the first time in a while that I have a Wednesday night free to go and learn about the stars. So I'm excited to check it out. Make sure you stay tuned tomorrow when we've got our guide to May in Chicago. All the best tips for everything from Cinco de Mayo to Mother's Day, anything else you've got going on in May. So make sure you stick around for that. We'll talk to you then. We'll talk to you then. How do I end this show? How does anyone end this show? I don't know. This is why I don't do this job. We're going to do it one more time.